Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, been looking at the rotten fruit of the flesh, the garbage of the flesh, and the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege once again to be in your house tonight. I pray that the Holy Spirit would minister to each of our hearts according to each need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So, as we looked at this series, as we consider that God created man, placed him in a Garden of Eden, and then as we've considered that God will one day save man back in a garden-type atmosphere. The tree of life will be back on either side of the river. So from garden to garden for the saved, from garden to garbage to the lost, we looked in Mark chapter 9. It'll be where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. That reminds me of a garbage dump. And in the Holy Land, they had their valley where they burned the trash and the smoke was curling up. It kind of like, you know, when you burn papers, it's not so smoky, but when you burn trash, you know, it just smokes and smells really bad. So that will be the end. That type will be the end for the lost. So in the meantime, between those two points, where are we dwelling practically? What are we doing? Well, we've looked at the rotten fruits of the flesh, the garbage. In verse 19, we've looked at adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. And now tonight, verse 20, the next one is idolatry. Now, you know, as Baptists, we think, well, we're okay there. You know, it's just the Catholics that are going to get into trouble, or the Buddhists, some of those groups. But we may see differently tonight. But when you think about the Catholics, of course, let's turn to Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, and the Lord is very clear here in Exodus 20, in verse 3, Exodus 20, verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not make unto thee any, what, graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So in verse 4, we're not to make any graven images and bow down. We're not to have any type of statues. And of course, we know the Catholic Church has all kinds of statues. When we were down visiting Jeremy and Julie in Mexico, we went through some type of park, and there was a Catholic church there, and Jeremy said, step in there and look. I think that's the first Catholic church I've ever looked inside. And just all kinds of statues. It's like little stations or spots, you know, with these alcoves with these statues. And, of course, when we're out witnessing door to door, you usually know when there's a Catholic, because often there's Mary sitting under or standing under a bathtub. Okay, so you kind of know all the statues. And yet, As talking to the guys in the jail the other night, we only have one mediator, and it's not Mary. Brother Cloud took some pictures when he was over in Italy, and over there they have many crosses. Mary is hanging on one side and Jesus on the other. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We only have one mediator, and it's not Mary. She's very blessed to have been chosen to bear the Lord Jesus Christ. But that does not make her our mediator. That does not make her the mother of God. Isaiah 9:6 says, the child is born, the son is given. So she bore his human flesh, but she did not bear the eternal Son of God. The eternal Son of God came down from heaven. She's not the mother of God. She's the mother of Jesus' flesh, but she's not the mother of God. 1 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 5. For there is one God and one what? Mediator between God and man, the man who? Christ Jesus, not Mary. There's one mediator. Notice with me in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. You know, they have tried to exalt Mary far above what God has exalted her. She was very blessed to have bore the Messiah, but she's not the mother of God, and she's not to be prayed to or worshiped or bowed down to some statue. In Luke chapter 1, verse 46, and Mary said, "My soul doth magnify" who? The Lord. "And my spirit hath rejoiced" in who? God, my Savior. Now, why do we need a Savior? We're all sinners. Mary says, "My spirit hath rejoiced" in who? God, my Savior. If Mary was the perfect one that they make her out to be, then she would not need a Savior. But Mary says, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior." Mary was a sinner just like you and I. And Mary needed a Savior, and she rejoiced in God, her Savior. And so Mary was not sinless. The Lord Jesus was born sinless because he was born of a miraculous conception with no sin nature like you and I. In Romans 5:12, we have a sin nature passed down to us. But the Lord Jesus did not. We talked about this morning about these different rotten fruits of the flesh. And why do we struggle with those? Because we have a sin nature that's like a magnet to sin. But the difference between us and the Lord Jesus is that he suffered in that he was tempted. You stop and think about that verse. He suffered in that he was tempted. Most of the time, you'll have to really beat your flesh, as the Apostle Paul, God used him to write, and keep it under subjection. Why? Because our flesh is attracted to sin because of our sin nature. Whereas Jesus, it repelled. You know, if you turn magnets opposite poles, it's like they'll just pull right together. But if you put them, you know, positive to positive, negative to negative, they will try to repel. It'll be hard to keep them together. And so when Jesus was tempted, it was, he suffered in that he was tempted. He did not enjoy temptation. And that right there is where have seen, like in Isaiah 55, our thoughts are not his thoughts. Well, that's why we have to be in the Word, like we talked this morning. So our thoughts are his thoughts. We're thinking about Scripture, thinking about what his thoughts would have us to think. Because, as we have seen, the battle for sin is won or lost in the mind. It's won or lost in the mind. Notice with me in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. And that is where Jesus was repulsed at sin. Whereas, our sin nature wants to enjoy the enticement to sin. Isaiah 55. Verse 6, Isaiah 55, 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his what? His way, and the unrighteous man his what? Thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are what? Not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And on he goes with that. So that's the difference between us and the flesh and Jesus in the flesh is Jesus had no sin nature like we have. And so he was repulsed at sin. When he was tempted, he suffered. If I had a nice big juicy pineapple up here tonight, some of you, your mouth would water. But just the smell of pineapple does not cause my mouth to water. Okay, sorry. Some of you love onions. My mouth does not water when I smell onions. My eyes might water when I smell onions, but not my mouth. And forgive me, moms. I know I'm ruining how you're trying to train your children now. You want them to eat those onions and you want them to eat that pineapple. I'm sorry. So, you just have to tell them, you know, hey, the preacher is but a sinner too. He's in the flesh, and see, you know, he needs help. Pray for the preacher. Amen. Pray for him. Amen. Amen. So our thoughts are not God's thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. And so that's why we need to spend much time in the Word. So back in Galatians chapter 5, so we're dealing with this rotten fruit of the flesh called idolatry. But tonight it's not just something to preach to the Catholics because they bow down to their idols and pictures of Jesus and Mary and so on. Galatians 5 in verse 20 there, idolatry. That's number 5 here. So it's possible to be serving some things without necessarily falling down and worshiping them. And that's kind of where we can get into trouble. We may think, well, I'm not committing idolatry because I'm not actually bowing down to something. Now, you know, this time of year, there's a lot of things that go down the road. You know, like people will be traveling with their speedboats. I've seen a lot of those lately, people hauling speedboats. Now, there's nothing wrong with owning a speedboat. In fact, there are no doubt many Christians who have speedboats. So there's nothing in and of itself wrong with owning one. But the problem is if that material thing comes between me and the Lord. So there are many Christians that have one that would think, well, this isn't my idol. I don't go out in the morning and kneel before my speedboat and pray to my speedboat to give me a safe day. And you know, and to meet my needs. I don't worship this speedboat. And yet let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And we notice some interesting verses here in verse 5. Colossians 3, 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness. As we start to read this, it's a lot like Galatians 5, those rotten fruits of the flesh. Inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is what? Idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary defines covetousness as marked by excessive desire for wealth or possessions or for another's possessions. So, if I see my neighbor have a speedboat, and I think, wow, I'd like a speedboat. And so I can begin to covet that speedboat to the point where it becomes idolatry to me. Not that I'm falling down and worshiping it, but that thing is consuming my thoughts. Instead of seeking the Lord first, now I'm seeking the speedboat first. Okay, what can I do to get a speedboat? You know, can I pick up some extra jobs so I can get that speedboat? I'm going to work every minute that I can, you know, to to try to put away, to get a speedboat. It can become idolatry. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 6, God gives us richly all things to enjoy, as we'll read here, but those things must never become the focus of our lives. 1 Timothy 6, every once in a while I will see someone with a car who parks it in a parking lot on an angle, like taking up two parking places, and it brings back memories of how foolish I was. There was one point in my life when my car was too much. I never bowed before my car and prayed to it. But it came between me and the Lord. I mean, I may sit in church like you are right now thinking about this week what I was going to do to my car. Yeah, maybe I'll get some new chrome wheels, or maybe I'll put a four-speed transmission in it, or maybe I'll put a hood scoop or a spoiler on it, or who knows what crazy thing I might do. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor what? Trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So there's nothing wrong with having a speedboat. When we go into our garage, this is the first house, I guess, we've ever had with an attached garage. And I just will never forget the missionary from the Philippines. Some of you remember him, Brother Nono. And he came to America. It was the first time he had been to America. And he went to one of the men's homes. And that man had a garage and an automatic door opener. And that Filipino could not get over it. When he was preaching, he says, I just can't get over you Americans. You build houses for your cars. And he just couldn't hardly grasp it. To have enough wealth to build a house for your car, he couldn't hardly fathom that. So, I mean, sometimes you can get to feeling guilty, for the things God gives. But it says here, God has given us richly all things to enjoy as long as we do not put those things before the Lord. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians 6. We can't let anything get control of our lives. God is the one to have control of that. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be controlled by wine, be controlled by the Holy Spirit. But other things can control us. We readily admit that alcohol and drugs control people, but material things can also control us if we're not careful. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought, what? Under the power of any. So, if I buy that speedboat, I'll give you a complex if you have a speedboat. So if I buy that speedboat, will I think that I've got to be out there every Sunday with it to get my full dollar value out of it? I think they just had in the news, was it John Kerry that just bought like a $70 million yacht? And they're having a fuss about it because he was going to park it in a different state because his state charges tax. And so I guess now he's going to bring it back to his state and, I don't know, pay the $500,000 tax or whatever it would have been. I'm not sure. But we can't let material things bring us under their power, or we need to get rid of them. One Christian could own a speedboat and be perfectly fine. That boat wouldn't come before God. He would just use it. But another one, it would be a stumbling block. Another one would think, man, I got to use this every weekend. I've got $70 million wrapped up into this speedboat. I've got to get my full use out of it. And so they'd never be in church. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. They wouldn't be in church. they would have to skip tithing because, hey, got to, put new granite in that speedboat or yacht, I guess. Malachi 3:8, well, man, rob God? Well, they had in tithes and offerings. So There are a multitude of material things that can come between us and the Lord, and it'll probably be different things. Each of us will not have the exact same struggles. Some things may tempt you that wouldn't me. Some things may tempt me that would never tempt you. There's a miniature golf place over on West River Drive, and my wife thought it'd be nice to spend a little time with the grandchildren, some of the grandchildren, so we took some of them over there to play miniature golf. But as we were playing miniature golf, that place also has these little race cars that go around the track. And for some reason, it was hard to keep eyes off those little race cars. Boy, that looked fun. And so after we played miniature golf, we went and bought some tickets to drive the little race cars. And so I thought, you know, they have some doubles for, you know, if you have little children. So I thought I was going to have to drive one of them around. Well, come to find out, we had two that were too short to go on the faster little race cars. And so now suddenly we didn't have a need for a double, and I don't know why, but anyway, I bought a ticket for me, thinking that I was going to need one, and, well, we didn't. And so we got walking out to the little race cars, and I said to my wife, I says, I should go see if I could get credit for this ticket. I says, I wanted to take pictures of the grandchildren as they ride around the racetrack. And I think she says, well, go ahead and just go. You know, you can get pictures later or whatever. But we got out there and in line, and the more I thought about it, seeing their faces coming around the corners, I thought, no, I am not going to run in this. I want to take the pictures. So I just let them get in their cars, and so I had fun taking the pictures. And so after they're done with their race, by the way, Jeremy, you need to talk to me before you get a driver's license for all those kids. I know which ones now you do not want to get a driver's license for. Okay. All right. The children were done, and the two of the smallest ones had the extra slow cars, you know, and so that was fun too. But then we had this one ticket, so I asked the guy, the young guy there, I says, will the lady inside give me credit for this? And I think he says, well, why don't you just use it? And my wife tried to encourage me, just use it. And at first I felt silly. I thought, we come out here to watch the grandchildren, not me, you know, get in one of these little race cars. But anyway, so I succumbed to the pressure. We had been there, I don't know, a few weeks ago. Lucas and I went in these little race cars then, and there was these young teenage boys, they were kind of ahead of us, but actually some of them had just finished. Anyway, they didn't want to cut ahead of us, so when it came time, when the last race was done, they said, go ahead, and one of the boys said to me, he said, There's a car out there with Army painted on it. And he says, that one's a fast one and one other one. Well, I thought these young boys were going out there too. And I thought, well, that was nice of them to tell me what was the fast car. But I thought, I don't want to be selfish. You know, these boys are going to want the faster car. So I just picked another car and sat in it. And come to find out, the guy just let Lucas and I race. All those boys wanted to race together. And so here I am in this putt-putt car out there, and Lucas is a half of a lap ahead of me. This car was a lot faster. And I thought, now I understood why the boy told me, you know, get this car, it's faster. So we're down there again this last week, and there's two Army cars out there now. So one. So I thought, well, this time, you know, I'm gonna take one of those Army cars. And so the guy lets me in the gate and says, take car 20. That was not an Army car. You know, maybe it's this gray hair. You know, maybe he thought I needed something slower. And so I thought, I could ask, you know, well, I want the Army car. And I thought, no. I'm just gonna obediently take car 20. So I got in car 20, and I guess I was the only one for a few minutes anyway, so he let me go. Well, I was glad that I listened to him. That car was fast. around the tightest corner there, I had to actually let off the gas because I wasn't sure that car would make it around that corner. The second time around, I knew it would. So it was just pedal to the metal after that. So here I am. Well, then he lets a man and his teenager out there too, after I'd went around a couple laps. And so that was fine. But I had a fast car, and so I come up behind him, and suddenly the dad gets competitive, and he tries to block me. So I try to go to the inside, he pulls over in front of me. Then I try to go to the outside, he pulls over to the outside. I thought, well, okay. So, you know, here I'm just looking for an opening. And so I finally found it on a straight. We probably went a couple times around. He was trying to block me, and my wife is watching all this and wondering what I'm thinking out there. So on the straightaway, my car was fast. So I went by him, and after that, it was the pedal to the metal. And so that car was so fast that I come up behind them again. I lapped them. So I got around them again. And oh, the old flesh, you know. The old flesh that thought, I don't need to get out there and race. Now the old flesh was excited, had a fast car, lapped this guy who tried to block me, you know, not let me around him. And so the old flesh is excited. So now, you know, normally at that spot, there's a red light. Normally we turn left and get on the freeway. Now the flesh is going to want to turn right instead into AJ's, you know, where the race cars are. Not really. But that is just, you know, something that we think is silly. This old flesh can get excited about. So notice with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Or excuse me, chapter 10. Chapter 10, excuse me. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10, 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth, what? Take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from what? Idolatry. Now, it might not tempt you at all to, that is, speed, fast cars. Might not tempt you in the least. But I can understand my flesh. I do not want a fast car. You know, be seeing the preacher's name in the paper, probably, you know. Well, I got another speeding ticket, or he was drag racing, or, you know, something else. So I understand. My flesh, I don't want to tempt it. I wouldn't want a Corvette. Whatever car is fast out there, I wouldn't want it because it would only tempt my flesh. We used to have, for years, we had station wagons. And of course, they quit making station wagons. But the children around the church would refer to our car as a boat, you know, a big old station wagon. And they didn't have any power. You couldn't pass anyone. I mean, you'd need a full mile down M57. See, it was clear to get around someone. It was horrible, but it had room for the family. That was okay. I don't want something fast. It would tempt my flesh. And no, if I had a Corvette, I wouldn't bow down to it and pray to it. But indeed, it could very easily become idolatry to me because it could come between me and the Lord. And so I personally wouldn't want it. Well, if someone wanted to give me a Corvette, I would take it, and then I would sell it, and then I'd go on a missions trip. That's what I would do with it. But Matthew chapter 6. For some of you, it'd be something else. Something that would tempt you. Maybe it's something more practical than that, but Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And these things are food and drink and clothes and so on there. There's probably been many Christians who have played a round of golf, not miniature golf, but real golf. And some have probably enjoyed it, and some it was probably the last time they ever played golf. Some all they did is chase the ball. I mean, just on miniature golf, sometimes that's all we seem to do is chase the ball. I have played golf on a real course before a couple times, but you can see how much I enjoyed it a couple times. I'm 53 years old. Some people will play more rounds of golf than that every week, of every summer. So it's different things for different people. Whether it's race cars, whether it's some outdoor sport or indoor sport, whether it's some hobby. There's nothing in and of itself wrong with having a hobby or enjoying sports, exercise, but it's when those things come between us and the Lord, when they take what should be God's time. So let's go back to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. So it puts a new perspective on idolatry. It is not just bowing down to statues, idols. The Bible said covetousness is idolatry. If we strongly desire something, that is idolatry. So Galatians 5 and verse 20. In verse 19 says, the works of the flesh are manifest, and then it goes on with them, and then verse 20, and idolatry is one of them. And then so we go down to the fruits of the Spirit in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And then on it goes. God will let us know when something is taking too much of our time, even though it may be a good thing, because when we get done with it, we'll not have peace. This has happened to me so many times. I always have peace when we get done, like going witnessing, whether we see any outward success or not. I always have peace from the Lord because I know it's the right thing. But you know, when I work on other projects, sometimes when I get done with them, I feel like I've just wasted a lot of time. Do you ever have that feeling? When you do something. And I'm not saying it's something bad, but I'm just saying it's just some worldly hobby or even something that needs to be done around the house or something that we think needs to be done around the house. Sometimes I just, at the end, feel like, boy, that took a lot of time. And, you know, what is it going to mean in eternity? And so the Lord will let us know. The Holy Spirit in will either give us that peace or say, you know what? You spent a lot of time doing that thing, and what good is it really going to mean in eternity? What is it really going to amount to? So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And that peace we need. We know that salvation and peace with God only comes through the precious, sinless blood of Jesus Christ. And so we've settled that salvation matter, but when it comes to then practically in life, it's the same thing. We need to keep the Lord first in our lives. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word, and Lord, we thank you for the many blessings that you do give to us. And Lord, help us to be thankful for those things. But help us, Lord, not to commit idolatry with those things. Lord, help us not to put those things before you, whether it's a hobby or some activity, some material thing. Lord, help us to keep our lives in the right perspective. I pray that we would show forth the fruits of the Spirit. I pray that the things that we do in a day, that at the end of the day, we can really sense that love, joy, and peace. And I pray that we would not get to the end of a day and sense an emptiness because we'd wasted our time on something really that that was not relevant, something that really took us away from time we should have spent with you or with some other worthwhile project. So, Lord, please work in our hearts and guide us by thy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.